Okay.
Yes.
Like,
Lord Jesus.
Looking like birds.
Yes.
Okay. I'm saying, and I question all of this because mm-hmm. I'm being conscious of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds like a jokey joke or make people laugh, but this atmosphere, this world is shifted and changed so much,
yes.
To the point now, basically anything goes as far as the functionality of animals and people and things like that. And I still say that God has a purpose and a plan for each of us, and he was not confused as to what how he made us, what foods that he provided for us,
Amen.
And the organisms from which they've come, and what health benefits it would happen for us. Now, they even say, and I know I'm probably getting off the mark here, just like weed, y'all, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, now here it is. Now, that also, and yes, it's an herb and it's a plant, of course, but the combustion of burning it was not supposed to be burned. We were supposed to be ingested like
a All right.
Give us the health benefits so that we wouldn't have to take Vicodin. We wouldn't have to take all of these things to combat pain. But because, again, here we go, man has got in there, okay, and found out they can do certain things, reap harvest, I say financial harvest, some things that God said it's not used for that purpose. We're not supposed to ingest it in our lungs because it's doing damage to the lungs and also to the brain cells. But if we were to gravitate towards it as God intended for us to use, then guess what? It has its health benefits.
Now, the thing about that is they're making that more potent, just like the tobacco industry made tobacco much more addictive. They've done the same thing with marijuana, number one, and it's people are being put in the hospital. They're trying to say it's, you know, they've always said for years marijuana is not one of those things that harm you. Anything that mimics a psychotic break, like paranoid schizophrenia, sounds to me like it's a problem. But hey, if you want to try that, that's on you. But at any rate, they have changed it in so many different ways that it's really a lot more addictive than it used to be. My biggest issue with it is that you have some preachers now advocating that the church sell marijuana. I'm like, what church is this?
And he about as crazy as a Betsy bug, because he done had about four or five wives and can't keep the one he got. Okay, I see.
You heard about that too?
Yes, I did. I know who he is. He need to sit down somewhere.
It's a church that we're getting high today. That's the church.
Yes, we are.
No, I'm just joking.
Okay. But seriously, I'm like, how the pastor go promote being a drug dealer at the church?
And wait, and you know he gonna be out there running things.
No. We're
like
getting higher. Oh, we gonna get high now.
what people do is,
God.
You know, the things God has given us a blessing of.
He's given some breaks, I tell you.
From the moment of our birth. You know what I'm saying? They pass the collection plate and the ashtray. You know, everybody, while you taking communion, pass the doobie to the left.
You know, wait a minute. And they tell the usher, I'll buy five. Okay.
Right. Exactly. This gonna be your fundraiser for the building funds.
You know what? There are some. I did hear several years ago, but there are some churches that do advocate smoking weed. Oh yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, I think they smoke it right there in the place. I believe so.
No.
I believe.
That's
look,
like God is coming in there. Gonna, he's not asking no questions, just like he did.
Oh my God!
How the congregation gonna be sober so they can
pray? Not gonna be sober.
Well, look here. They don't want you sober anyway. Hey, look at that.
Whoa.
Look at a lot of these churches out here. The minister, the pastor, does not want you to wake up, because if you did, you wouldn't follow the garbage that he's preaching.
Preach.
All right. I'm telling you right now, and both of you know this is fact. Now, we've got great preachers out here. You take someone like Reverend Demery that preaches the word, Dr. Sims that preaches the word. You take many, many pastors across the nation that really preach the word. But then you got these other charlatans out here. You know what it is?
Hanging out with P. Diddy.
It's a paycheck.
I'm coming to check on you. Ain't pass out a flyer. Ain't bless nobody. Look, sit there looking at songs.
We're talking about these jokers that's there for a paycheck. You know, God said that God ain't tell these clowns he needed a jet. Come on. I tell you what, he can use his computer and get around the world faster.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. No, the ones that say that I need to be up there so I can be with God. Well, God is omnipresent. So what is your problem? No,
are you serious?
Just lying. He said, I need a jet, but you got four of them. You can only get in there one at a time, okay?
Hey.
But you need to get up there and steal away to God. No, you need to conjure up how you're going to get some more money to enhance your appetite. That's what
the Holy Spirit is right here. I ain't got to go nowhere.
Me, I know.
That's
I
exactly right.
I ain't got to go on my knees. I can call him sitting right here, and I will feel his presence. So what you talking
and
about?
I can be in the bathroom washing my face, and God will talk to me.
Exactly. Well, see, this is the thing about it. If one of these clowns, and I'm paraphrasing, it was almost like that it's against God's will for him to fly on a commercial jet. Okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. In other words, he wasn't supposed to be among the peasants, so to speak.
Ooh.
Oh, well, that is the
lie too.
That is what I got out of the way this joker was speaking. And people follow these clowns. You know, it's just like people. Oh, remember the article came out that this one joker was a female or a male that's selling tickets to heaven. You know, if you want to go to heaven, you $500.
I'm trying to understand how we got back to selling, what did they call them back when the priests used to do them? Selling indulgences. That's what they were called.
They never walked away from the indulgence. They just need to stop because what's in a man going to come out, period.
Right,
that's what they did is just got bold with it. Okay, let's call a spade a spade. They was doing things in secrecy. You know how I feel about that, William. Okay?
Yeah.
Doing things in secrecy. And God said, what is done back in the room, in the dark, in secrecy, I'm telling on all of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
When I find out, I'm telling, because guess what? This is messing up the church. This is messing up God's people.
Sure is.
Because of their deeds. William, you asked us something.
Yeah, I want Ann to do something first because we will move.
Yeah.
We've got about 47 minutes left, and I want to cover a couple of things before we get off.
Yes.
And then next week we'll get back and we'll talk about maybe the original topic. But this is necessary. Do you have anything on that train derailment in Ohio? And I want to talk about that since we're talking about the environment. Now, the government and local officials, they are saying the water's safe and the air is safe now.
And they're lying.
And check this out. Did anyone watch this and did you see the massive amount of black toxic smoke that went into the air?
And it's still going. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the residents or the community there, this is, wait a minute, hold it. I'm getting headaches, I'm getting migraines, I'm getting sore throats, and you're trying to tell me that the air and water is safe?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry. They said
I got the article when you read it.
And please do that and then comment on it. Then, Dr. Sims, we're going to talk about artificial intelligence.
I want to hit that one.
I know you do. All right, Ann.
CBS News has an article that says vinyl chloride's invisible threat. Thousands of pounds are released every year in the U.S. as part of poison plastic manufacturing. And this article is by Lee Cohen, and it was updated on February 17th. It says vinyl chloride entered the spotlight after the February 3rd Ohio train derailment. But the hazardous substance has been around for decades and is everywhere, from buildings and vehicle upholstery to children's toys and kitchen supplies. And factories have been emitting EPA-designated toxic chemicals into the air for years. The train that derailed had the man-made and volatile compound on board, prompting temporary evacuations amid concerns it could quickly impact people in the area. Then, when officials decided to burn it, there were also concerns it could release phosgene, a gas that can be highly lethal and was used as a chemical weapon in World War One. But the derailment isn't the first time vinyl chloride has alarmed experts. They've been concerned about its potential impacts for decades. On January 2nd, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services published a draft toxicological profile for the substance. In it, experts say that the volatile compound used almost exclusively by the plastics industry has leached into groundwater from spills, landfills, and industrial sources, and that people who live around plastic manufacturing facilities may be exposed to vinyl chloride by inhalation of contaminated air. This disaster is really a wake-up call. Hamina Diaz Lavia, the science director for Nonprofit Center Environmental Health, told CBS News, there needs to be a lot more regulatory oversight and action to address not just the safety and the actual transport around these chemicals, but also just stemming our production of all these chemicals. Diaz also said its risk has been underestimated, both in terms of potential toxins and the greenhouse gas emissions involved in its production. And in the U.S., there are dozens of places where such exposure is possible. The base for poison plastic. Vinyl chloride is the essential building block of PVC plastic, Diaz-Leva said. It's an incredibly dirty process that emits a lot of chemicals and uses a lot of chemicals in the manufacturing process, resulting in a lot of worker exposures and also exposures of people in frontline and fence line communities. Diaz-Leva, who got her PhD in environmental science, policy, and management. PVC is called the poison plastic. The CEH published a report on polyvinyl chloride, PVC, a type of plastic used in pipes, buildings, packaging film, flooring, and more in 2018, saying the bottom line is there is no way to safely manufacture, use, or dispose of PVC products. The problem begins at vinyl chloride's origin. It's generated from ethane, which is obtained through fracking natural gas, a process that's significantly grown since 2013, and when done, emits the greenhouse gas methane, a major driver in climate change. PVC, according to a 2020 study, has a high potential in global warming than other plastics due to its high energy consumption and CO2 emissions. The U.S. Energy Information Administration said ethane production hit a monthly record last year, more than 2.4 million barrels per day. They expect production will hit 2.7 million barrels per day this year, as the global PVC market is expected to become a $56.1 billion industry within the next 3 years. A 2022 study also found that U.S. PVC production emitted roughly 18 million metric tons of CO2 in 2020. According to the EPA's Toxics Release Inventory, which tracks the management of certain toxic chemicals that may pose a threat to human health and the environment, there are 38 TRI facilities in 15 states, mostly around the Gulf of Mexico and the eastern United States, that use vinyl chloride, emitting about 500,000 pounds of the substance every year. In 2021, there were 428,523 pounds of the substance released, according to the EPA. As of 2021, vinyl chloride ranks as one of the most released chemicals in the U.S. Out of 531 chemicals reported to the agency, the substance ranks 117th, with one being the highest releases. Essentially, all of those emissions came from the chemical industry in 2021 and were released into the air. And just five facilities made up more than half of those releases. The top emitter, Formosa Plastics Corporation, Texas, sits along a bay leading into the Gulf of Mexico. They released more than 68,000 pounds of vinyl chloride into the air that year. These numbers, however, may be lower than what's true, because not all facilities using the chemical compound are required to report to the EPA. The emissions are known to have contributed to health issues in nearby communities. Mossville, Louisiana, a tiny town just west of Lake Charles, that was founded by people who were formerly enslaved has been historically plagued by manufacturing pollution. The area is surrounded by more than a dozen industrial facilities, including at least one working with vinyl chloride that has a history of violations and scores far above national and industry levels for factors contributing to health issues. In 2021, the site was fined more than $447,000 for violations, of failure to ensure performance, management safety, mechanical integrity, and record keeping, among other things. The area is part of what's known as Cancer Alley.
Wow.
It's a predominantly black and brown community, and a lot of the plastics manufacturing companies that are around there, these are the ones that are producing these same precursors that get, that are getting us to PVC plastic and other types of plastics, Diaz Leva said. Dr. Julianne, Bayer, assistant professor of medicine at Pittsburgh Liver Research Center and an expert who contributed to the DHHS report, told CBS News those most at risk are occupational workers, but those in areas near PVC producing factories could also face exposure. How much vinyl chloride people can be subjected to before suffering health effects is still being researched, and different agencies have set different limits and recommendations. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, for example, says that workers should not be exposed to more than 1 ppm of vinyl chloride over an 8-hour period, or more than 5 parts per million, which is what ppm stands for, averages over any period less than 15 minutes. The Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, however, sets its minimal risk levels, the estimate of how much someone can ingest without a noticeable health impact, much lower. Those who have been exposed for 14 days or less have an MRL of 0.5 parts per million for inhalation, while those who have been exposed for 15 to 364 days have an MRL of 0.02 parts per million. Once in the air outside, vinyl chloride dissipates within a few days. Hmm. So emissions from PVC production don't necessarily pose a long-term or widespread impact. However, the ATSDR says, areas near vinyl chloride manufacturing and processing plants, as well as waste sites and landfills, have seen a wide range of vinyl chloride concentrations. It's usually a range from trace amounts to over, and I can't see that parts per million, over 1 part per million, the agency says. The levels have gone as high as 44 parts per million around landfills. Bayer's currently searching exposure limits and the impact on livers, and told CBS News that 0.08 parts per million, parts per million, which is less than the max threshold considered safe by OSHA standards, vinyl chloride could still impact health. The concentration at which it can impact health is also far lower than when it's immediately detectable. The substance's odor threshold, the concentration when most people can smell it, is 3,000 parts per million in the air, according to the ATSDR. We have shown experimentally, this is not in humans, that these lower concentrations will enhance liver disease that is either pre-existing or caused by other factors, she said. And so that is one of my concerns. Are there residents that have underlying liver disease? When asked if she should be more concerned about the hazards of vinyl chloride, Bayer issued a swift response. Yes, we need to raise awareness that low levels of vinyl chloride that are currently considered safe may enhance underlying disease. It's maybe liver disease, but maybe also other diseases, she said. But this is, I think, an underestimated risk. The whole vinyl chloride story is absolutely understudied and definitely needs more investigation.
Absolutely. And then you have to question, who's actually doing the studies? A lot of these companies, they hire their own people to do the studies.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. Right? Yes, so if you're getting a paycheck from these people, and you're just there for the money, you're going to put in that report what they want you to do. That report will be favorable. It's amazing. We're going to move on to Dr. Simpson in a second because I want to talk about artificial intelligence in this last half hour here, which is something that also a danger you know, and a health risk.
Yep.
And a health risk. That's what we're talking about today. And did I hear that on your program or some other program that we produced and was talking about there is an underground fire somewhere in Alabama from a landfill?
Yeah.
And which,
yeah.
Oh, did it come from your show or Dr. Sim's show?
I don't
know. It wasn't on my show. No.
Well, we read an article about it. And matter of fact, I actually saw too in a documentary series that there's a fire that's been burning for decades now underground. Some kind of way, some chemical got set on fire in an underground facility, and they haven't been able to put it out. They tried, but it hasn't worked. And so eventually they had to pay the residents so that the residents could be uprooted and moved out of the community. But they stayed there for years because they were trying to tell them it was safe, but the ground was hot to walk on.
That's amazing. It was,
oh, gosh.
Yeah, they couldn't put the fire out because there's so much of whatever flammable material it is underneath the surface that it's just been burning in perpetuity. So they tried to, you know, flood it with water. That didn't work. They tried, you know, to kind of seal it off. That nothing has worked. And you can see smoke billowing up through fissures from the fire underneath the surface. And it's been going on for a very long time. One more thing that I want to point out before we move to Dr. Sims is I hope everybody listening, especially since this is Black History Month, paid attention to the fact that this was a Black and brown community that was, you know, talked about having all these factories around them that are breaking mm-hmm. the rules about emissions. And what we haven't been hearing anything about them, but now that we've got this train derailment in Ohio, we've been hearing a whole lot about these chemicals that those folks have been complaining about for years. And wow. when you know, go to places like the NAACP's website or whatnot, there is a type of racism that includes environmental racism. The people who suffer mm-hmm. most from that. Pollution and from environmental impacts are Black and brown folks. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to target those communities because they know people aren't going to care as much. And they're not just doing it here. They've been doing the same thing on the continent of Africa for years. And they've mm-hmm. done it in other places around the world too. So mm-hmm. I just want to put that out there so that yes, this is a problem for the people in Ohio, but as you can see, they've got, you know, the media on their side. It's well documented for them, but there are a lot of other places that need advocating for, especially our own communities, and we need to be cognizant of that so that we can help them get the spotlight on their areas in order to get the help they need.
I'm glad you phrased it and put it that way, because mm-hmm. also, and if you look at these, there's a thing about high levels of cancer and also brain diseases and problems with these overhead electrical wires that's going through the same neighborhoods that you and I are talking about. And you don't find those huge generators in the ritzy neighborhoods or in the middle class and up neighborhoods. You don't hear about that. Wow.
They're doing chemical trails too.
Boy, there's so much to cover here. And we're going to have to pick this up next week. I'm not exactly sure because we'll start off one topic, man. But that's okay, because this is necessary. Right. This is now.
Yeah, it is.
And and it's all related to Black history. Going back to our history, it was always that give them the scraps. Give them this, the mediocre jobs. If they can get a job at all, give them this, give them that. And then you're, why don't you get a job? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Well, damn it, you stole my boots.
Exactly. And the straps.
Come on.
Oh, okay.
You need to buy your own strings.
Yeah,
man. Come
okay.
On,
I guess I'm going to have to be a cobbler now, make my own boots. I'm saying, but.
Right.
Oh, man. But there's so much that, because Dr. Sims, you asked a question, what can we do about it? And we touched on it a little bit. We've got to come back. This is a hot subject here. We need to go back to where our grandparents, like I said, my grandfather taught me how to farm, okay? Mm-hmm. And on my mom's property, she had, it's an acre of land. We still have it. And on half that acre, my grandfather used to plant all sorts of vegetables from green beans to spinach to corn to make the most delicious tomatoes don't taste like that anymore. Okay.
Not unless you get them from that are grown on a farm. If you get the kind that are those
not in pod, the stores, you don't. Lord
right,
have mercy.
The ones that have been genetically altered or grown in those little pod things, they don't taste right. But freshly grown organic tomatoes on a farm, those are awesome.
Right.
Very good.
Yeah, and he used that. He didn't use all those chemicals in the grass, in the grounds either, to do that. So we're going to come back to this. Thank you so much. And Dr. Sims, I want to talk about artificial intelligence. And this is something, again, you know, as citizens, we are so stupid. We are so stupid because let things go, don't we? We accept everything. Oh, yeah, come on in. And we're giving our children all of these electronic devices. We are giving them iPads. Now, a six-year-old has no business with an iPhone. Okay? And I'm going to go even, until they're able to pay the bill, I don't think they should have one. Now, my point is, I think it's okay to give your child a device for communication. Give them a phone so if they need to call home, they can. But we need to monitor what they are watching. What's scary about this to me, I just saw something, was it today or yesterday, and they were talking about artificial intelligence. And that was a reporter. There's an actual reporter, and I'm sure there's articles about this. And this reporter, and there are followers or people that are subscribing to this, that's saying that when they communicate with this company, this AI company, whatever it is, it gives them a real creepy feeling. Like you can, this thing will talk back to you the way you're talking to it. Okay, we'll talk back to you. And there was one part of it where the AI device or communicator or whatever it is told this reporter, you need to leave your wife.
Yes, it did.
Wow.
Yes.
Dr. Sims. Dr. Sims, please.
If you rub it the wrong way, let me read this little brief article here about the AI.
Wow.
It expands what you can do through always evolving machine learning and can help you make better operation decisions and keep your inventory, your business, whatever you're doing for what exactly that you need. Now, AI, what is AI? It is classified as intelligence through machine. Or the ability for a computer to complete tasks normally done by humans. So we're being replaced, folks. AI is just another step to move to improve efficiency and exactness with the help of non-human intelligence. AI can be broken down further into three types of basic capabilities. Artificial narrow intelligence, sometimes referred to as weak AI. Artificial narrow intelligence is AI that specializes in one area. There's AI that can read faster than the average human, but that's the only thing it does, okay? Ask it to do something else, and it will look at you blankly. Now, okay, let me read the next because it's getting weird. Artificial general intelligence, which is known as AGI, sometimes referred to as strong AI or human level AI. Artificial general intelligence referred to a computer that is as smart as a human across the board. Society has yet to fully accomplish AGI on any level. So at this point, it is theoretical. Now there's another, artificial super intelligence, which is ASI. Artificial superintelligence ranges from the computer that's just a little smarter than a human to one that's trillions of times smarter across the board. Folks, this is just telling us that we are being replaced. Okay. Mm. It is what it is. And I told you, William, I look at things and I kind of decipher in my mind. I'm asking, ask God to let me see, because that's what we have to do. You said something, William, about we are ignorant. We're, you know, kind of null to reality that mm-hmm. is going on around us. We want to think that it is business as usual, but it's not. Mm-hmm. People are being replaced with computers.
Mm-hmm.
People are being cloned, folks. This is not just in the movies. Mm-hmm. Okay, y'all better wake up, because they have computers now that reads your every body movement, that watches mm-hmm. your face, that mm-hmm. listens to you talk, and redefine it to perfection.
Uh oh.
Literally being replaced, and they can look like you, bat an eye, and walk among us. You wouldn't know that they're computers. Mm-hmm. And so this is how they are refining. That's why I call the one that is the ASI with the super intelligence
mm-hmm.
that will, but they have to monitor you. They have to watch you. They have to assess you, before they come to a conclusion what they're going to add in. And I had my children laugh. I told you I'm on the road today. Because these machines is going to turn on humans. I'm telling you, y'all can believe what you want to believe, because this planet was not made for no clones of machines to replace us. But what they're telling us now, that we are not smart enough. We are not smart enough to make rational conclusions or give rational answers. And these things work from mathematics. Let me read this. Why does AL matter? While you may or may not have AL helping with your maintenance or operation tasks, likely not yet, they say, with more advanced analysis, okay, in today's system, AL can allow you to make better decisions operationally based on data. And that's true. Okay, that's true. Working for the bank, you know, have computer systems that I did general ledger, you know, where I got stuck. I plugged it in, you know, and they made the rational decision. But now, honey, all you have to do is talk to it, and it's going to tell you what to do. Like, I saw that they had it on the news, William, where this this system, this computer that you can download and talk to it. And if you make it mad, they said, okay, if you rub it the wrong way, it'll tell you to leave your wife. It'll tell you... I don't like you, just various things. That is this artificial intelligence. And the artificial intelligence, folks, is happening in social media.
Mm-hmm.
We have it on Facebook. We have it everywhere. So artificial intelligence is not the humanistic intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Again, artificial is the emulation of, okay, something. And so that's what they're doing. But the thing is this, there's an example of having an auto trigger. I'm just reading. Part recorder points for inventory based on changing markets, supplying chains, allowing organizations to switch from reactionary and strategic, and to be strategic. And it says these use big data to calculate accurate failure thresholds and help you keep inventory, whatever you're doing. Okay. But my thing is, and I don't want to read the rest of this, because artificial intelligence, I just know, is taking precedence on human knowledge and human ability to interact with each other. We are getting to now that I have to pick up, I don't want to use my mind to even add sometimes, because what can I do? I just pick up the artificial intelligence and do my thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm using something. I've become lazy in areas, all right? Artificial intelligence, we don't remember phone numbers.
Right.
Because it is artificial intelligence that has taken, all we have to do is push a button, and it got it for us.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's making us dull to our surroundings and what is actually going on to us. Artificial intelligence, you go to the ATM, withdraw your money. You don't even have to see a human. You understand? Mm-hmm. And what really gets my goat is when I get on the phone and I hear all of these artificial intelligence, can I help you?
Right.
Tell me what your problem is. Well, you don't know my problem.
Right.
Okay, give me a human. Wait, tell me what your problem is so I can direct you to the right source. I need to speak to a human.
Exactly.
That's what
representative.
I don't want to hear from you no more.
That's exactly right.
Representative.
Right.
We are being replaced, folks, to the point where you know we need each other. God says that. We need each other. We need to contact with each other. We need to contact where babies are not really being nurtured by parents hardly anymore because the machine is taking over. The TV is taking over. The cell phones are taking over. I got a baby to work a cell phone better than I can.
You know?
And get an attitude and fall out and pass out if you take it. we're being replaced with these things, and it's strategically done. And this is something that was designed in 1956 from what I read. They've been working on this
for years.
This is not something that just happened overnight, folks. And we have been monitored. They know what moves and grooves us, what makes us tick. Okay. And so these data with the human race, because the similarities are basically the same within us, okay? So guess what? This data is downloaded in these computer systems, okay? Mm-hmm. When the computer start talking back to me and telling me that I have such and such amount of money, and do you want to withdraw this? You're only going to have this left. Do you think? No. I'm not going to sit there and rationale and stand outside and talk to no computer, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You know, I think we talked about this before. I've read this several years ago that there is a group of people, and I'm going to talk about the 1%ers, the 5%ers. And you know what I mean by those billionaires and close to trillionaires, if not that. They believe in artificial intelligence. They believe in all of these genetically modified organisms and things of that nature. And they also want population reduction. I believe that. And the theory there is that if they were able to eliminate enough people out here and just keep enough for the workforce. Okay. They really don't care about what happens to the bottom, 20% or 30% of people. They really don't. And the machines, because the machines are, so automated, they have been for years and even more so now with the computers running everything, they don't need as many workers as they did. Look at what happened just this past month where all of these tech companies are laying off thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Okay. It's happening all over. What really scary to me, Ann and Dr. Sims, is the fact when we went to school, you didn't have a calculator at your desk to do your math.
Nope. Nope.
Okay. The most that you had, you may have been able to use a dictionary, but you didn't have a laptop and you could look up things. There was no such thing as Google or things like that. And Dr. Sims, I think you said we have become lazy. When I get in my car, well, I especially need it out here now because the city has changed so much. I use my GPS, right?
Of course. And I get on there. It talks to you too, don't it?
Huh?
It talks to you.
Of course it does. And I will get on there and I'll dial up Orange Star and says, and this robot would come on. Where would you like to go? And I don't want to talk to her. I said, agent. Well, to get you the best agent, how can I help you? And I have to repeat myself and I get a live human on there. Okay. Because see, sometimes this automated system gets it wrong too. And they get it. And it'll take me. One day I was going somewhere. I said, no, this isn't right. And I knew I was going in the wrong direction.
Right.
Okay. So I had to do it again. But the thing about it is it's taking over what our brain is a muscle. And if we don't exercise that brain, guess what? It's not going to stay healthy and it's not going to grow. Okay. It's not going to be able to allow us to think. And this is exactly what they want. They don't want us thinking. They want to think for us. And to me, that is
there a movie.
Go on.
There was a movie on this, AI,
artificial intelligence,
where the computer started a warfare like battleship. And there was no war. There was no missiles coming to the state, but because there was a glitch in this artificial computer, this intelligence, that it was getting ready to start a world war. Okay.
Right.
Because they're thinking China is sending missiles over here. They were getting ready to push the button over here and other places, but the computer did an error. Okay. And so these are the things that's kind of scary to me because, like you said, and we venture, or actually I visualize where the computer is telling you not to love your wife and telling you these things. And people are so programmed into this, William, you know, with these games and things that people are playing, a lot of these people are committing murders, committing suicide,
mm-hmm.
based on what they are entertaining in their mind. It's almost like a brainwashing
mechanism. It is a brainwashing. It is.
So therefore you're not able, you're so reliant on this AI, this technology, that you forget that you're human. There is a rationale that God has put in all of us. But because you're so programmed into that, and again, we've become lazy to the point where it's just, it's ruining our lives. It's ruining relationships. It's ruining places that we normally would fellowship. But we need each other. We need the touch. We need to know the love. But these computers can't love like God put in us. You understand?
Right.
They can't feel like we feel. Yeah, it makes it speedy for us. It does. In certain incidences, and it has some benefits. However, these things now are just particularly, basically running our lives to the point where, you remember the Jetsons, the cartoon, the Jetsons?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Now, I told somebody, I know that cartoon came out a long time. I say I put two and two together long time ago, but how come it's coming to fruition now?
Flying cars, computers.
Because they were telling us then what they were getting ready to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I had a friend that she was a computer programmer back in the 70s, late 70s, and she made a lot of money back then, even back then.
Right.
And something she told me that really stuck, and she says, William, she said, you like the modern technology that you see and experiencing and enjoying? I said, oh, yeah, I like it. She said, that's really old technology. Did you know that? She said,
oh, God.
What's out here now is 2 years behind what they have already produced. So right, they've got some things. Right. They've got some things out here right now. I mean, they're not really available to the public, but they have some things right now that will blow your mind if you really look at it. And it's all about, it is a sense of brainwashing, and because now people don't have to think anymore, do you? I mean, you really have to do any thinking. That it can't be healthy, Ann.
Well, it's interesting that you brought this up, because I don't know if you guys are aware, but the Surgeon General issued a warning out, I guess it was, the end of January, January 29th, that 13 is too young, too early to join social media.
Mm-hmm.
And social media is run by a bunch of different algorithms. Those algorithms are basically what Dr. Sims was talking about. They basically watch your behavior on social media. Mm-hmm. It suggests certain things to you. As a matter of fact, if you've been paying attention to everything that's been going on in the last few years, those same algorithms have been blamed for a lot of the rise of conspiracy theories and Christian nationalism and all that type of stuff.
Because children committing suicide.
They
suggest things to people.
Mass murders. Come on.
They suggest, you know, take a look at this particular thing or this particular thing. And that's kind of how, some people, not everybody, but that's how some people get involved. And I think, another thing is when you are using social media, apps and whatnot, not only are they getting to know your likes and preferences, in terms of what type of articles you read or what type of sites you like to go to, but they're also getting a look at you. And you guys know I've had the same picture posted since I started on social media, but I know people who take selfies and post them practically every single day. And so there's some facial recognition software that's being used, a lot of them. The big thing that's been in the news lately is ChatGPT. I don't know if you guys have heard about that, but they have been trying to ban that from schools because that particular AI can generate papers all on its own, and kids can turn them in like they did it themselves. So there's a lot to.
But that would have helped me in school, okay? Okay.
But a part of the health problem that the Surgeon General says, and this is a real short article that I'll just sum up, it's from CNN. Surgeon General says 13 is too early to join social media. And the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy says he believes it is too young for children to be on social media platforms because although those sites allow children of that age to join, kids are still developing their identity. Mm. Meta, Twitter, and a host of other social media giants currently allow 13-year-olds to join their platforms. I personally, based on the data I've seen, believe that 13 is too early. It's a time where it's really important for us to be thoughtful about what's going into how they think about their own self-worth and their relationships, and the skewed and often distorted environment of social media often does a disservice to many of these children, Murthy said on CNN Newsroom. The number of teenagers on social media has sparked alarm among medical professionals mm-hmm. who point to a growing body of research about the harm such platforms can cause on adolescents. Murthy acknowledged the difficulties of keeping children off these platforms given their popularity, but suggested parents can find success by presenting a united front. If parents can band together and say, you know, as a group, we're not going to allow our kids to use social media until 16 or 17 or 18 or whatever age they choose, that's a much more effective strategy in making sure your kids don't get exposed to harm early, he told CNN. New research suggests habitually checking social media can alter the brain chemistry of adolescents. According to a study published this month in JAMA Pediatrics, students who checked social media more regularly displayed greater neural sensitivity in certain parts of their brains, making their brains more sensitive to social consequences over time. Psychiatrists like Dr. Adriana Stacey have pointed to this phenomenon for years. Stacey, who works primarily with teenagers and college students, previously told CNN using social media releases a dopamine dump in the brain. When we do things that are addictive, like use cocaine or use smartphones, our brains release a lot of dopamine at once. It tells our brains to keep using that, she said. For teenagers in particular, this part of their brain is actually hyperactive compared to adults. They can't get motivated to do anything else. Recent studies demonstrate other ways excessive screen time can impact brain development in young children. For example, excessive screen time was significantly associated with poor emerging literacy skills and ability to use expressive language. Now, that's just some of what that article has to say. I thank the Holy Spirit for discernment because my husband and I decided AJ and Alex weren't getting phones until they turned 16 years old years ago. So AJ's 17 now, but he got his first phone when he was 16. And, you know, so I was concerned that we were going to have a child who just lived on his phone. But thank God he doesn't do that. He still spends time with us. He still likes to talk face to face. He's not constantly on his phone all the time. Now, he is on it a lot, like teenagers would be. But I expected to kind of lose him in it once he finally got one, and he didn't. And, you know, even he has said that he prefers to talk to people because he's had to, you know, that one-on-one face-to-face type dialogue is what he's used to doing because he didn't have a phone to deal with. And another thing is kids are exposed to a whole lot when they've got that much information at their fingertips. You get porn. They are drug dealers online.
Yes.
They've got a
stalkers
language.
Yes.
Stalkers.
Big time.
But parents don't realize that they've got emoji codes for drug deals.
I read an article,
you know,
whoa,
you know, for parents telling you to be on the lookout. And I mean, looking at the stuff, it's gibberish to me.
Yeah.
But kids know that this is how you buy drugs, and mm-hmm. the drug dealers know this is what these particular emojis mean. So there are lots of things that your kids are getting exposed to when you give them a phone. And, I mean, even crazy challenges that are out there on social media that are harmful.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous. So they need time to mature. You as a parent need to be talking to them about the dangers of social media. You know, we'll let them see, this is why you can't have a phone right here. See this foolishness? And AJ and Alex go, okay, we're not stupid. I know, but these people are.
Right.
And I don't want you exposed to these people. And it's the same thing with having a computer. Our kids don't have computers that we are controlling. Andre and I have computers. The kids are allowed to use the computers, but they've got a computer that's downstairs right next to the kitchen so we can see homework. And then, you know, this is our
monitoring.
Right, because if you let them have free reign with everything that's out here, you are exposing them to so much stuff that is going to some kind of way affect them. And there's just no way around it. We are the sum product of our experiences and our choices in this particular life. It sets up your belief system. So you really are, I think, doing your kids a disservice by just letting them have free reign when it comes to this thing and they're not ready to handle it. If they ain't getting ready to handle alcohol, if they ain't ready to be married, if they ain't ready to go off the war,
that's right.
They're not ready for social media either.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. This young lady, there was a young lady, I believe it was last week, 14 years old, committed suicide. She was being bullied. She was beat up and bullied in school. And I forgot what state it was. It really doesn't matter, folks, because this happened all over the country. And it's a doggone shame that the parents had lost their daughter. And she got bullied and beat up in school. And then someone posted it on social media. And then I think a day or two later, she committed suicide. We are losing a lot of our children, folks.
Yes,
look at the suicide rate among children. Look at the rate now. There have been bullies from the beginning of time. No one's going to tell me that with the addition of social media, it hasn't increased significantly. Because you have people who don't even know you that will bully you. Okay?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Kids are committing suicide, not just because they're bullied, but because they're being blackmailed on social media.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
Yes.
Wow.
They are caught. You got to understand, you got this camera that's looking at me right now. Well, people hack in to those things, and they can see you doing stuff.
Right.
I think, you know, it was a leak not too long ago that the CIA or one of those spy agencies that's part of how they spy on other people by listening to them through their smart TVs, because those things pick up sound as well as emit sound. But you have a lot of other ways that you are being looked at too. They hack into, you know, your sensitive data, and they tell these kids, either you will do what we tell you to do, or we're going to tell everybody. So you know, trying to extort money out of a kid who doesn't have a huge allowance and can't pay you.
And the pressure that they put on them.
Yeah,
that's right.
No.
The kids panic and then kill themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
You said something about smartphones. What about these houses that they're building called smart homes?
Okay? Oh, boy.
They got those too.
That's intelligence. That's that technology thing.
Isn't it something?
And I mean, you have a smart home, but there's somebody above you who's going to work that home too, who knows how to get in.
That's right. You can unlock your door.
Your
everything is going to be.
Washing machine, all of
everything.
That.
Everything.
It's remote controlled.
That's
you can access it from afar, so who else is getting it?
That's right.
Even exactly. With your car. I mean, they have hacked cars and caused accidents because, you know, if somebody else can control your CPU in your car and stop it, you know, in the middle of traffic, guess what?
Right.
That's somebody trying to kill you. I mean, but it's like that with everything.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're with pacemakers now that are digitally controlled,
Lord.
And
yes,
they have hacked
Lord.
In. They can hack into those. I mean, it's scary. It seems like it's convenient.
Very
it seems
so.
Like it makes life better, but there's a scary side too.
But they know what they're doing.
Of course
and
they do.
Call a spade because they want to control the human side to be taken over by artificial intelligence.
Absolutely.
Let's call it what it is.
Absolutely.
And my thing is this, we're talking about the suicide rate and what have you, but I'm also finding out the murder rate being done by younger people who have been brainwashed by these mechanisms. I have a twins killed their parents because they took their iPad and their cell phone away.
Isn't that something?
Because they've been programmed into this
and desensitized.
And I'm very desensitized to what is right and what's wrong. They looked at the object which was provided by the parent, okay, not knowing or not deciphering the ramifications of it. However, because of the brainwashing, so not only being bullied, but we have children who are bullying their parents as well, who are getting just really beside themselves. They've gotten a boldness from this technology, you understand? And they've gotten some directions and revamping their minds and sense of entitlement. All kinds of things is going on to the, when you were talking about breaking down the brain, the serotonin and things like that, the cause and effect. And William, you talk about the sound waves that are coming through some of these mechanisms.
Come on now.
You can normally hear with the natural ear, but it nonetheless is happening all around us. I wave at my TV sometimes because I know.
Hey, how y'all doing?
And you just got a, and wait a minute, you just got a good look. How you doing?
Right.
I'm being serious because this is not something that just, I keep saying, hasn't happened overnight. They've been monitoring.
Yep.
They've been watching. They listening in on your phones. Some folks back in the day, they couldn't even say bomb. If they said bomb, the FBI was at their door and they was talking to somebody on the phone.
Isn't that something?
And they weren't talking about building no bomb.
And that's exactly right.
And boom, and then all of a sudden you under arrest.
Right. Mm. Oh, wow. Can you believe we're out of time? I want to leave you.
Oh,
boy, oh, boy. This is good. We have to revisit this. We must revisit this. You can't do this in the short period of time that we had. I'm not sure whether Dr. Sims, you heard me say this or not. There was a book that was written back in 1973 by this gentleman by the name of Lewis Tackwood. You heard me say this before. And it was called The Glass House Tapes. Okay? The Glass House, as he described it, was in Los Angeles, California. I'm not sure whether it's still there or whatever. I've never visited there. But that is an intelligence department. And it housed six police agencies, the FBI, the CIA, LAPD, the SII, something else and something else, right? And this book is deep. It's a great read, and it's only 100 and a few pages, maybe 130, 150 pages at the most. And he said something back then, 1973. He said, be careful with your cable TV. Now, this was before smartphones. Okay. This is before laptops. Okay. This is before iPads. He said, be careful with your cable TV, because while you are watching that TV is watching you. This book was written in 1973. Now it's out of print right now. I tried to get another copy of it. I can't find my old copy, and it is very expensive to try to get. Very expensive. You know, I mean, some cases just too out of my budget. But anyway, he said, while you're watching TV, the TV is watching you. And tell us about Eden as an Act of Worship Ministry show. Then Dr. Sims, we're going to tell you about your show. Then we're going to have to exit, but we need to do a part two of this. This is too important to let go. And
well, Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show comes on live right here on Studio W Buzz on Saturdays at 11:00 a.m. Central Time. We are the radio show that teaches you the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. So you don't want to miss it. Tune in Saturdays at 11:00 a.m. Central Time right here on Studio W Buzz.
That's right. And following that, Teens Talk Truth with her sons, her two favorite young men, AJ and Alex. You don't want to miss that. I'm so proud of those young men and how they've grown over the last 3 years. Ann used to, I know she still produces the show, but she used to also write out the questions And I think after
I do not do that anymore.
She, let's put it out. She got relieved of those duties. Okay.
Right. Okay. I make suggestions sometimes, but they do their own.
They do their own thing. I'm proud of them. Dr. Sims, Miss CeCe's Kitchen.
Yeah, Miss CeCe's Kitchen is aired every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Eastern Standard Time.
Right.
And so come on aboard. We're talking about some real issues, and we're controversial, and we have a lot of fun there, but we deal with what's real. But one of the things I'll share this with my daughter today, I said, I like it because it's so common, you know, that you can just talk and get the point across to everybody. We can be intellectual if we had to, but we in the kitchen. We just don't. You know, we cooking up in the kitchen, and I'm just going to be me, okay? And so it is what it is. And pray for William.
Yeah, pray for me. Right, I need all the help I can get.
Well, but he admitted that he found himself in some of our subjects, and I gave him kudos for at least admitting. Okay, so come on in and join Miss CeCe's Kitchen.
That's
right.
That's right. Hey, both shows are absolutely fantastic. So we have many, many programs that are great, great. Coming up tonight, you don't want to kick back, grab a glass, and enjoy Sunday Night Go with yours truly and the jazzy one. I'm not sure what jazz has put together for us tonight, but it's going to be fun. And that's going to happen with about 52 minutes or so. So anyway, ladies, it's always a pleasure. Great show. We will revisit this, but excellent, excellent broadcast. And I'll see you next week.
All right. You guys have a blessed one. Next week, I will be out because my mom's birthday is next Sunday.
Oh,
so
nice.
We're having a dinner for her on Sunday. So, but guys, I love you. Y'all be blessed. I'll see you after that.
Okay.
All right then.
Enjoy. All right. Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you listen to Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network, circling the globe 24 hours a day, 7.